You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Julie Burstein here for Leonard Lopate today. In baseball, statistics are everything. While RBIs, ERAs, home runs, and batting averages are often cited to determine a baseball player's worth among casual fans, a different method has been developed among serious mathematicians. In his article, The Algebra of A-Rod, Jordan Ellenberg attempts to mathematically prove that A-Rod's contribution to the Yankees' overall success is not as critical as his historically unprecedented salary might suggest. A mathematician at the University of Wisconsin, Jordan uses algebra and calculus to give baseball fans a deeper understanding of the impact a player like Alex Rodriguez has on a team. It's my pleasure to welcome him to the Leonard Lopate Show today to explain it all to us. Welcome.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
At the top of your article, you use a term I was not familiar with, which is sabermetrician. Can you explain that?
Oh, so sabermetrics is kind of a novelty word that is kind of made of an acronym, SABR, the Society for American Baseball Research. So these are the guys who I'm not sure how long, probably at least 30 years, have been kind of beating the drum of bringing more sophisticated mathematical methods to the study of baseball. And for a long time, they were doing this in relative obscurity. And in recent years, I think the tide has turned, and now it's become almost a given that any sort of serious baseball operation, and most serious baseball fans, think about baseball statistics in ways that we would call sabermetric, developed by these guys.
Now, you say these guys, so you're not one of these guys.
I am not a sabermetrician. I wish I were, but...
How does one become a sabermetrician?
Well, I think you have to know two things. You have to know a lot about math, but you also have to know a lot about baseball. You have to have a really deep and wide knowledge. I don't think you can come to it just with a mathematician's knowledge and say things that make sense on the baseball level. So, I mean, I should emphasize that what I write about in the New York Times article, the mathematical work, is in some sense stuff that I'm publicizing the work of others, especially Keith Woolner, who developed this measure called value over replacement player, and Bill James, sort of the great dean of sabermetrics, who figured out how you can predict how many games a team is going to win based on how many runs they score.
Now, you said the value over replacement player, or VORP, as it's
VORP, right,
shown in your article. What does that describe?
Well, it's fun to say, first of all.
Yes. VORP. It feels like we're in some sort of Star Trek episode.
Exactly. So what it describes is that when you figure out how much value a player is adding to your team, let's say a player hits 50 home runs, which is quite a lot, you have to consider what production you would be getting if that player weren't there. So a catcher who hits 50 home runs is more valuable than a first baseman who hits 50 home runs. Why? It's the same home runs. It scores the same number of runs for your team. You should think it should be the same value. But it's not true, because if that first baseman was hit by a bus and you needed to get a new first baseman, you would probably be able to find one who could, let's say, hit 20 home runs. But if you suddenly needed to find a new catcher, catchers are a rarer species of baseball player, and you might only be able to find one who was going to hit 10 home runs for you. And so the value of a replacement player is sort of saying, how much more production is Alex Rodriguez giving you than the player who would be playing for your team if you didn't have Alex Rodriguez?
And you could spend $275 million to get somebody to play for your team.
Exactly, which is one reason that what counts as a replacement player for the Yankees may be different from what counts as a replacement player for the Devil Rays.
That's interesting. So when you look at this value over replacement player with Alex Rodriguez, what did you find?
Well, what I found, first of all, is that I think by most measures, Alex Rodriguez absolutely deserves his status as one of the best and probably the best hitters in Major League Baseball. So the Yankees are paying a lot, but they're certainly paying for the best. What you find when you work the numbers is that he is probably helping the Yankees win about 5 or 6 games more per year than they would be if they didn't have Alex Rodriguez.
And they had that replacement player.
And they had a replacement player.
Yes.
Instead, that's right.
And so is that enough in your calculations? I mean, when you look at that, then does that justify the amount of money spent on Alex Rodriguez?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because after all, what's justified is partly a mathematical and partly a moral question.
Mm-hmm. And partly a kind of market question, and sometimes I look at these vast amounts of money and think part of it is you're just generating a huge amount of publicity just by that number. So,
well, that's right. There's a sort of a feedback effect in that way. So you can ask yourself, what a mathematician can tell you is, how many wins are you getting back from Rodriguez for your money? But of course, if you're a businessman, you want to know, how much money are you getting back for your money? Now, fortunately, there's another sabermetrician, Nate Silver, who did some very nice work essentially estimating what's the value of a win.
Mm.
And what he worked out is that for a team like the Yankees, wins are worth about $4 million each. So if you figure Rodriguez is going to win you five more games a year, or maybe five or six, maybe you're talking about a value to the Yankees monetarily of $20 to $25 million a year. Now, that's in the range of what his contract is. Of course, you do have to remember that the Yankees pay the luxury tax. So they're actually, I think, out about $43 million a year for Rodriguez's services when you take that into account. So I would say that from that point of view, his salary is perhaps somewhat more than the Yankees are getting back in money, but it's not outrageously out of line.
And then if you add the other metric of the possibility of winning a World Series, then maybe it's in line then?
Well, no, because that's included in Silver's computation.
Ah, okay, that's so included in that $4 million.
You see, because the wins are worth much more to a team like the Yankees than, let's say, the team I follow, the Baltimore Orioles. And that's because, you know, if the Orioles got Alex Rodriguez and won, let's say, 75 games instead of 70 games, that doesn't translate into that much extra money for them. They're not going to the playoffs anyway. Whereas for the Yankees, winning 95 games instead of 90 has a very real chance of making the difference between finishing the season at the beginning of October or going on to play in the World Series. And that's why wins are worth much more to a good team than to a bad team.
I'm speaking with Jordan Ellenberg, who is a mathematician at the University of Wisconsin, who has an article called The Algebra of A-Rod, which looks at how you can calculate the various worth of various players in various ways. I wanted to ask you, Jordan, what kind of math do you teach at the University of Wisconsin? Is baseball a part of it?
I'm afraid I don't get to teach baseball. I'm a number theorist, so the problems that I think about are these baseball problems involve numbers too, but as a professional number theorist, we think about numbers in a rather different way than just adding them up and multiplying them by things, which is what you do in sabermetrics.
So how did you come to sabermetrics? Are you also a huge baseball fan?
Oh, yeah, and I'm a very big baseball fan, a fan of the Orioles, as I said. And I started, when I was a kid, reading the books of Bill James, who I think now works for the Red Sox, and as I said, was sort of this pioneering figure when no one else was doing it, of saying, let's bring a little bit of mathematical sophistication to thinking about the game of baseball. So I think almost everybody who now thinks seriously about baseball statistics, and is about my age, I'm in my mid-30s, grew up reading Bill James's books. I mean, you would wait. You'd go to the bookstore every day before the season started, waiting for that book to come out.
Oh,
waiting
wow.
For the day when you would see it on the shelf and you could, like, read his take on the previous year's.
Now, were you a kid who loved mathematics even before you encountered Bill James, or was this part of what led you down the path of becoming a numbers theorist?
I actually, for me, the mathematics came first. Actually, it was my math tutor who took me to my first baseball game.
Smart math tutor.
Math brought me to baseball rather than the other way around.
And baseball rather than other games, I may be completely wrong, but it seems like baseball is concerned with these metrics and these numbers in a much different way than other sports are.
That's right, and the reason for that is that baseball is much easier to break down into individual events. You see, at every moment, there's a kind of a binary confrontation taking place between a pitcher and a batter, whereas if you're studying, let's say, how good a running back is in football, let's say that running back breaks free and makes a 50-yard touchdown run. Well, you can say that's because he was a great running back, but you have to ask what percentage of that is due to the offensive line opening up a big hole for that guy to run through. There's at least you know, all 11 players are somehow involved in every play. So it's extremely difficult in a game like football or basketball to assign values to individual players the way you can in baseball. Not that people don't try. We're kind of at, I would say we're at the dawn of really serious sabermetric style thinking about some of these more team-oriented sports like football and basketball. Maybe we're like where baseball was like 20 or 30 years ago.
Well, I was going to ask you whether these kinds of calculations are being applied to other sports.
Oh, yeah, they are. I mean, we sort of know, we have some rough idea, for instance, of if you add this many touchdowns to how many touchdowns you score, how is that going to affect your wins and losses? But it's at a much more primitive stage.
Now, you said Bill James, you think, works for the Red Sox. Do teams employ sabermetricians as they're looking at their possible choices for people to place on their teams and having people doing this kind of calculus to say, well, is it $275 million or should we say $250?
Well, they do now. They didn't used to. But now we're in this kind of golden age of sabermetrics, and the teams themselves are starting to catch on to the fact that this is a really useful method of analysis. So I couldn't tell you what proportion of teams have someone who would be described as a sabermetrician on their staff, but it's certainly more than a handful. I mean, I think a big factor in this was a very good book by Michael Lewis called Moneyball.
Yes.
Some of your readers may know about, which really kind of talked about how the Oakland A's were using sabermetric ideas, which no one else was doing, and were able to consistently field very good teams despite not having the kind of money that franchises like the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox have. And I think that book was a huge bestseller, and it really kind of opened people's eyes to the fact that this was not kind of pie-in-the-sky academic theorizing, but something that could actually translate into wins on the field and dollars in your bank account. That gets people excited.
Now, this may be kind of a crazy question, but with all of the scandals about steroid use, has anybody tried to use sabermetrics to analyze a player's various years and think, is this person using or not?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that's a very hard thing to do. And at best, you can get sort of good guesses, not conclusive answers. But unfortunately, I don't have this. I believe the fellow's name is Shane Jensen. He's a professor at the Wharton School at Penn. He and a group of co-authors, I'm afraid that I don't have their names in front of me, wrote a nice article about Roger Clemens when he was in the news, analyzing his record and trying to figure out whether there were the hallmarks of steroid use there. But because we don't actually know that, in some sense there's a lot we don't know medically about the effects of steroids and like how they're likely to affect someone's physical capabilities, let alone the complicated question of how they affect performance in the baseball field. So I think of course people try. I think getting conclusive answers will be very hard.
We're at the very beginning of the baseball season. As my last question, have you looked at what's going on in the various teams and with a sabermetrician's approach, looked to see who you think will be most likely to make it to the World Series in the fall?
Well, as I say, I mostly look at the Orioles and their personnel, and I do that as long as I can before I start crying. And then that sort of reduces my appetite to look at all the rest of the teams. But I think right now I think the Orioles are projected by most of the sabermetric systems to be the worst team in all of baseball next year.
Does it make you want to just hang up your sabermetrics hat, though, when you see that?
That's when I feel happy that math doesn't have all the answers.
Well, my guest has been Jordan Ellenberg, who teaches math at the University of Wisconsin and who has written an article, The Algebra of A-Rod, Memo to Hank, and How Any Genius Can Figure Out Why Rodriguez Hasn't Won the Yankees a Title Yet. Thank you so much for being on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Thank you for having me.